"What's happening to Vavach?" Horza asked. This wasn't something he'd heard about. He knew the big orbital was in this part of the war zone, but he'd thought its condominium-style ownership would keep it out of the firing line.
"Didn't your Adiran friends tell you?" Yasin said.
She dropped the hand with the outstretched fingers.
"Well,"
she said, when Horza just shrugged, "as you probably do know, the Adirans are advancing through the whole inward flank of the gulf, the Glitter Cliff. The culture seems to be putting up a bit of a fight for change, or at least preparing to. It looked like they were going to come to one of their usual understandings and leave Vavach as neutral territory. This religious thing the Adirans have about planets means they weren't really interested in the O, as long as the culture didn't try to use it as a base, and they promised they wouldn't. Shit, with these big fucking GSVs they're building these days, they don't need bases on O's or rings, or planets or anything else. Well, all the various types and weirdos on Vavach thought they were going to be just fine, thank you, and probably do very well out of the galactic firefight going on around them. Then the Adirans announced they were going to take Vavach over after all, though only nominally, no military presence. The culture said they weren't having this, both sides refused to abandon their precious principles, and the culture said, okay, if you won't back down, we're going to blow the place away before you get there. And that's what's happening. Before the Adiran battle fleets arrive, the culture's going to evacuate the whole damn O and then blast it.
They're going to evacuate? An orbital?
Horza said. This really was the first he'd heard of any of this. The Adirans had mentioned nothing about Vavach orbital in the briefings they had given him, and even once he was actually impersonating the outworld minister, Igratin, most of what had been coming in from outside had been rumour. Any idiot could see that the whole volume around the Sullen Gulf was going to become a battle space hundreds of light years across, hundreds tall and decades deep at least. But exactly what was going on he hadn't been able to find out. The war was shifting up a gear indeed. Still, only a lunatic would think of trying to remove everybody off an orbital. Yalson nodded all the same.
So they say. Don't ask me where they're going to pull the ships from for that one, but that's what they say they're going to do.
They're crazy. Horza shook his head.
Yeah, well, I think they proved that when they went to war in the first place.
Okay, sorry, go on, Horza said, waving one hand.
I forgot what else I was going to say.
Yasin grinned, looking at the three fingers she had extended as though they would give her a clue. She looked at Horza.
I think that about covers it.
I'd advise you to keep your head down and your mouth shut until we get to Marjoen, where this temple is, and still to keep your head down once we get there, come to think of it. She laughed, and Horza found himself laughing with her. She nodded and picked up her spoon again.
Assuming you come through okay, people will accept you more once you've been in a firefight with them. For now, you're the baby on the ship, no matter what you've done in the past, and regardless of Zalan.
Horza looked at her doubtfully, thinking about attacking anywhere, even an undefended temple, in a second-hand suit with an unreliable projectile rifle.
Well, he sighed, spooning more food from his plate. So long as you don't all start betting on which way I'll fall again.
Yalsin looked at him for a second, then grinned and went back to her food. Craiklin proved more inquisitive about Horza's past, despite what Yalsin had said. The man invited Horza to his cabin. It was neat and tidy, with everything stowed and clamped or webbed down, and it smelled fresh. Real books lined one wall, and there was an absorber carpet on the floor. A model of the cat hung from the ceiling, and a big laser rifle was cradled on another wall. It looked powerful, with a large battery pack and a beam-splitter device on the end of the barrel. It gleamed in the soft light of the cabin, as though it had been polished.
"Sit down," Craiklin said,
motioning Horza to a small seat while he adjusted the single bed to a couch and flopped into it. He reached behind to a shelf and picked up two sniff flasks. He offered one to Horza, who took it and broke the seal. The captain of the clear air turbulence drew deeply on the fumes from his own bowl, then sipped a little of the misty liquid. Horza did the same. He recognized the substance, but couldn't remember the name. It was one of those you could snort and get high on, or drink and just be sociable. The active ingredients lasted only a few minutes at body temperature, and anyway were broken up rather than absorbed by most humanoid digestive tracts.
Thanks, Horza said.
Well, you're looking a lot better than when you came on board,
Craiklin said, looking at Horza's chest and arms. The changer had almost resumed his normal shape after 4 days of rest and heavy eating.
His trunk and limbs had filled out to something approaching their fairly muscular usual, and his belly had grown no larger. His skin had tautened and taken on a golden brown sheen, while his face looked both firmer and yet more supple too. His hair was growing in dark from the roots. He had cut off the yellow-white lankness of the gerontocrat's sparse locks. His venom teeth were also regrowing, but they would need another 20 days or so before they could be used. I feel better too.
Pity about Zalin, but I'm sure you could see my point.
Sure. I'm just glad you gave me the chance. Some people would have zapped me and thrown me out.
It crossed my mind, Craiglin said,
toying with the flask he held.
But I sensed you weren't totally full of crap. Can't say I believed you about this aging drug and the Adirans at the time, but I thought you might make a fight of it. Mind you, you were lucky, right?
He smiled at Horza, who smiled back. Craiglin looked up at the books on the far wall.
Anyway, Zalin was sort of dead weight, know what I mean?
He looked back at Horza.
Kid hardly knew which end of his rifle to point. I was thinking of dropping him from the team next place we hit.
He took another gulp of the fumes,